Welcome to Bishop Sheridan Presents on the Catholic Radio Network. Bishop Sheridan Presents is a weekly roundtable discussion of events and issues facing the church and culture today. Bishop Sheridan Presents is a production of the Diocese of Colorado Springs and the Catholic Radio Network. And now, here's your host, Bishop Michael Sheridan of the Diocese of Colorado Springs.
Welcome. God bless you, everyone. This is our Christmas program, and we're going to spend a little time today visiting with Monsignor Donald Dunn. Monsignor Dunn is a priest of the Diocese of Colorado Springs and retired now, but most recently, pastor of St. Mary's Cathedral Parish here in the city and vicar general of the diocese. So, Monsignor Dunn, welcome. I know you're retired, but you're not really retired, are you? You're still busy.
I get to do the wonderful parts of ministry. I get to offer Eucharist and hear confessions and visit sick people. And I help at St. Dominic's in security, which is wonderful for me.
And a great help to all of us. Thanks, Monsignor. The reason that Monsignor Dunn is here today is he has, at least in my experience, a very unique collection of Christmas creche figures. I've been at his house before and noticed a number of them displayed. And even though this is radio, I wish you could be here because Monsignor has brought a number of these figures here just to, I think, kind of spark his memory and tell us a little bit about these crib figures, these Christmas creche figures. You know, Monsignor, both of us had the opportunity to live in Rome and to go to school in Rome, and there's nothing like Rome for viewing what are known as the Presepio, the magnificent scenes that are displayed in the churches of Rome. Huge, sometimes figures, almost life-size figures with scenery and running water and sound effects and lights. They're magnificent. And I don't know about you, I used to make a practice as much as I could of going around to many of the churches during the Christmas season just to look at those crib scenes.
I don't remember consciously doing that. I certainly remember, and you jog my memory about those wonderful crib sets in the churches around the city, and certainly that's a fond memory among many other fond memories of Rome and my time in Rome. And in fact, I was telling you before we began that my collection started really quite by accident. I'm going to celebrate next week 49 years of ordination, and my parents were able to come to my ordination in Rome, and I gave them a crib set, an Italian one, rather elaborate, hand-carved, and my mother treasured that in a very special way, and it was always up in our home for the next number of years when they were still with us before they went home to God, my parents, who died 8 months apart, and as my brothers and I and my sisters-in-law were breaking up our home, I said, really, the only thing I really want is the crib set. So graciously, my two brothers had me take that one. And it when I moved here to Colorado Springs in 1987, I brought it with me, and I left it up all the time in the rectory that we lived in. And to the best of my memory, the next crib set that came was quite a surprise and a gift. There was a Holy Cross priest. Perhaps some of you who lived in St. Patrick's in the 80s remember Father Chet Saleta. He was a wonderful older priest who had been actually academic dean at University of Notre Dame for many years and had come to help at St. Patrick's before I arrived. So when I came in 87, he was on staff. And at one point, sometime during those next years that we were together, he went to Africa to visit the seminary the Holy Cross priest had in Uganda, I believe. I'm not positive of that, but that's my best memory. And he brought me back a black wooden set, which he gave me, and it just inspired me to start looking for.
And I'm sitting here looking at. Is that ebony? Do you think?
I think maybe it's ebony. It's certainly.
It's a very dark, heavy wood.
Yeah, it's wonderful. It's wonderful. Well, shortly thereafter, I guess one word got around in the parish, St. Patrick's, and then a woman gave me a Native American set that portray so wonderfully the Native American costumes and so forth. This, I presume, would have been one of the wise men. You can't see it, but he's in featherhead dress and Indian costuming. And I remember later Jerry Thiem, who still works here at the diocese, and Marianne Stadjahar gave me this other American Indian one, which is kind of unique, with Joseph leading the donkey along and Mary and the infant Jesus on it. That probably would be more flight into Egypt than it would be the creche, but it would be...
Oh, yeah, Jesus is already there.
Jesus is already here. But and with a little rope tying the two little statues together. And then over time, people just... began to give me sets.
So you didn't necessarily go out and seek these. It became known that that you enjoyed having them, and people started giving them to you.
That's exactly right. I did. I was at a liturgical conference, I think, in Denver one time, or maybe the Mile High Religious Ed Congress, and there was a, I don't know if that's still there, a religious goods store in Denver that had a display, and there was another African set, and I that one I purchased. I remember that. And then here's another one. Shirley Wells, who worked for a long, long time here in the tribunal and the diocese, was a potter, and she made this this set. It's rough, but lovingly made, and I treasure that one. That one sits on a coffee table I have in my home. My good friend, Sister Roberta Westrick, who was an artist herself, gave me a set that actually only brought one of the figures, but interestingly, it's Joseph and Mary and Jesus, and the word joy is behind them, J behind Joseph here, O for the crib, and Y for Mary. So it also is just unique.
It's really too bad our listeners can't see this, but I thought it's kind of a fascinating thing. Has it become a bit of a hobby now? Are you still out looking for different crib sets? Or
actually, I'm not. I don't have any room for anymore. I counted roughly this afternoon before I came down to be here, and I think I have over 30, and I leave them out all year. It's just even spiritually and prayerfully for me, it just has become so important in terms of this marvelous celebration we're about to have of Jesus with us, Emmanuel, and the mystery of incarnation, of him taking on us, our flesh. And for me, I think what it's come to mean over the years, I'm not sure I could tell you this is where I started out, but as these different images came reflecting many, many, many different cultures, what I began to reflect on was how almost intuitively people have incorporated, at least at some level, into their spiritual thinking that God comes among us not just with a Middle Eastern look, but that he takes on who we are, that our very flesh and blood, the colors of our skins, and that it just it's meant a whole bunch to me. So I just enjoy having them displayed.
Well, and you're right. I think talking about the incarnation, obviously Jesus was who he was. He was an individual, a person, and he looked the way he looked. But the mystery of the incarnation is God's taking to himself our human flesh, and so there's a way in which it the incarnation transcends even the historical figure of Jesus, and is well represented in and I think many of our listeners have seen these various images throughout the world, how Jesus and Mary are often depicted as people of the particular country, wearing often the costumes, the clothing of that country, right. Facial features of the people of that country, and it makes a lot of sense, I think.
Right. I guess one of my favorites, just because we're from the West in the United States too, it's the cowboy one, and Jesus is lying in the big cowboy hat instead of the manger. It's a cowboy hat, and one caught my attention, and I love that. This is a rather unique one. I actually have two gifts from one of the deacons in our diocese, Albert Kimenaw, who is a woodworker.
Yes, yeah.
He does a lot of woodwork.
And he has given me his work, his statue of St. Michael.
Has he? Yeah. Yeah. Well, he gave me many years ago a set that's simple and lovely.
Oh, it is.
Yeah. And I have that one. But last year, I think he gave me this unique one. I know it's not his own artwork, but he cut out this, and it's a cross, but it has all the nativity parts to it, the crib and Joseph and Mary and the camels and the wise men and the shepherds and the sheep. It's really quite unique, and I don't know the wood. I don't know that it's olive wood, although I do have some olive wood ones.
Yeah.
But I enjoy that
one. Is the olive wood one from Bethlehem?
Yeah, I think it's from Bethlehem, that one is. That's... I guess we're going to take a picture of this, at least have it up on the website.
Well, right, even as I'm apologizing and regretting that our listeners can't really see these figures that you and I are looking at right now, we've been promised that they will be photographed, and you can access these photographs on the Colorado Catholic Herald blog, which we can get to from the website, right? Okay. Very good. So you will be able to see some of them. You know, as you were talking, Monsignor Dunn, about these images, the fact that in the incarnation, God, I mean the God of heaven, the infinite God, actually entered our history in a very specific time and place. God became someone that we could look at and listen to, and his disciples could touch him and they lived with him. I was thinking that in the history of the church, there have been all those controversies, you know, over whether or not there should even be images of saints. Those who opposed it were the iconoclasts. And of course we're appealing to the Old Testament insistence that there must be no images, no graven images. But of course we know what that means. We can't turn any kind of a man-made object into something that we worship. But images, whether those are pictures, stained glass windows, statues, is very reflective of our belief in the incarnation.
Yes.
We don't substitute them for God or for Jesus himself, but there's something, they're very physical reminders. And of course, the Eastern churches with their icons, I mean, these are actually marvelous windows to the divine. So yeah. It's very important. I think we need to. I think we need to take a short break now, but we'll come back and talk more about Christmas, about our experiences of the Christmas crib, and maybe a little bit about how the creche, the very familiar Christmas scene, entered our history. So we'll be back in just a moment.
In 2006, the Colorado Catholic Herald was voted the nation's number one diocesan newspaper in its class. The Herald offers a wide variety of stories on the local, national, and world level, as well as your letters and the best columns in the Catholic press. The Colorado Catholic Herald is a newspaper you can be proud of. If you are registered with a parish in the Diocese of Colorado Springs, you should be receiving the Herald. If not, please call us at 719-866-6492. That's 719-866-6492. The Colorado Catholic Herald, bringing the Catholic world to you.
Welcome back. This is our Christmas show, and I'm visiting today with Monsignor Donald Dunn, formerly Vicar General and pastor of St. Mary's Cathedral Parish, retired now, but still very active. And Monsignor Dunn has brought into the studio here today a number of figures from Christmas creche, Christmas crib sets that he's collected really over, I think you said, nearly 50 years now.
Yes, it would be almost
50 years. And even though this is radio and our listeners can't really see these figures, I want to remind them that the figures that Monsignor Dunn is talking about are going to be photographed, and they will be posted on the Colorado Catholic Herald website, the blog, which you can access at coloradocatholicherald.com. So, Monsignor Dunn, there were really just a couple of this. One I'm looking at right now that you said during the break is a figure. Is that St. Joseph?
Yes, that's Joseph, and it's from El Salvador. And this set is very unique because it's made out of corn husks. And I wish I could tell you who gave it to me, but I've had it a number of years now, and it's probably the most unique one from my point of view. Then I have a couple of them. Well, I have more than that I brought from Mexico. Some of them, one I keep out on my patio because it's a large set that was a gift to me from a dear friend who's gone home to God, Ed Sandoval. Don't have that one. I have one with Irish background.
Oh, yes.
With shamrocks all over the figure I brought is one of the wise men. And, it's not Bleak china, which is Irish and very expensive, because as my sister-in-law pointed out when she gave it to me, you look underneath, it says made in China, but it looks like Bleak. It's white with shamrocks all over all the figurines.
We Irish claim everything.
Yes,
eventually.
We do. We claim most everything. I have a little set that I got one time when I was in Venice, made out of Venetian glass. It's
very simple
and lovely. So my tiniest set it's almost beyond belief how tiny it is. Less than my fingernail, I think.
It is. And those are figures in there.
Those are actually figures in there. And I don't know the material. It's some kind of a white rock, I presume, almost like a salt, but I don't know that. Mm-hmm. And then there's one where Joseph and Mary and the infant are very obviously in Middle Eastern costume. It's very simply done. There are really no facial features at all, except that Joseph has a beard. But it's very simple and lovely. I like that one myself as well.
You know, the variety that are here, represented of so many cultures, nationalities, it's just another indication of how important this feast of Christmas is, how important the incarnation is, that God would enter into our human history, take our flesh, become, as scripture says, a man like us in all things but sin. I don't know that there's any other event that is depicted in art and statuary quite like Christmas. I remember when I was a child growing up, Our family had the crib set that actually my grandmother and grandfather had for some time. And, being kids, it didn't survive all that well. It seemed like there were a couple of new chips on the plaster figures every year. And I remember one year my father looked at it and he said, you know, this is really getting old and nasty looking. He said, maybe we should buy a new one. Well, my sister and I jumped up and was, don't you dare buy a new one, because this is it. This is Christmas for us to look at these figures under the tree. You know, I guess a lot of people do put their crib scenes under the tree. I don't know if that's just a habit or a particular place for them. We did always as a kid, but I think it was because we didn't have any other place to put it. So
I know, and the custom, which I think is a lovely custom, of not putting the infant figurine in until Christmas morning, and then having the wise men far away somewhere in the house or whatever, and moving toward the tree. I remember that custom for sure too.
I was visiting in the rectory of one of our priests not too long ago, and he has a crib set in the living room area, and lined up on various steps going to the second floor are the Magi.
Ah, yeah.
Each one on a different step. Okay. And then he moves them down the steps as we get closer to the Feast of the Epiphany. These are really beautiful and very, very interesting, Monsignor. I was doing a little homework in preparation for our visit today, and of course the nativity, the birth of Christ, has been depicted as it was early, I think, as the third or fourth century. But what we've come to know as the creche, this more elaborate depiction of the event of the birth of Christ is, as we know, attributed to St. Francis. And one thing I didn't realize is that it was on Christmas Eve, I think just 3 years before he died, and I think he died in 1226, if I'm not mistaken. He was in the town of Greccio, and preparing for midnight mass, and people were gathering. Of course, he wasn't a priest, but he was gathering the people, and realized that the crowd was too big to fit into the local church. So he gathered them outdoors, which I think actually near a cave. He used to like to live in caves, and he actually put straw in a manger, but there were no figures. He had no figures, no Jesus, no Mary, no Joseph. But the priest celebrated Mass in front of this rather stark and somewhat empty depiction of the first Christmas, and it seems that's where it came from. In fact, there's a quote from Saint Bonaventure, who lived not too long, almost a contemporary of Saint Francis of Assisi, and this won't take too long. Let me read what Saint Bonaventure how he tells the story. He says it happened in the third year before his death, that in order to excite the inhabitants of Greccio to commemorate the nativity of the infant Jesus with great devotion, St. Francis determined to keep it with all possible solemnity. Unless he should be accused of lightness or novelty, he asked and obtained the permission of the sovereign pontiff. So he actually asked the Pope if he could do this. Bonaventure goes on, then he prepared a manger and brought hay and an ox and an ass to the place appointed. The brethren were summoned. The people ran together. The forest resounded with their voices. And that venerable night was made glorious by many and brilliant lights and sonorous psalms of praise. St. Francis stood before the manger, full of devotion and piety, bathed in tears and radiant with joy. The Holy Gospel was chanted by Francis, the Levite of Christ. Then he preached to the people around the nativity of the poor king, and being unable to utter his name for the tenderness of his love, he called him the Babe of Bethlehem. Now, this next part coming up is what is interesting to me, because it takes the story of St. Francis creating this rather meager scene, takes it a little bit further. St. Bonaventure goes on, a certain valiant and voracious soldier, Master John of Greccio, who for the love of Christ had left the warfare of this world and become a dear friend of this holy man, affirmed that he beheld an infant marvelously beautiful sleeping in that manger, whom the blessed Father Francis embraced with both his arms as if he would awake him from sleep. This vision of the devout soldier, St. Bonaventure says, is credible, not only by reason of the sanctity of him that saw it, but by reason of the miracles which afterwards confirmed its truth. For example of Francis, it might be considered by the world, is doubtless sufficient to excite all hearts which are negligent in the faith of Christ. And the hay of that manger, being preserved by the people, miraculously cured diseases of cattle and many other pestilences. God thus in all things glorifying his servant and witnessing to the great efficacy of his holy prayers by manifest prodigies and miracles. So St. Bonaventure says that even though there was no figure of the infant Jesus in that manger, that this John, Sir John of Greccio, saw one and saw Francis actually embracing it. And Bonaventure says we have every reason to believe that vision, that miracle, is absolutely true. So really, this is where we get the idea of the manger scene, the creche, which I guess really is in just virtually every church in the world at this time of the year, and in most every Christian home this time of the year.
I'm just reminded, I just returned from a short trip to Texas. Sister Roberta, whom I mentioned before, had a number of santos blessed in a brand new church in McAllen. And one of the things that struck me, a number of people had bumper stickers that said, "Keep Christ in Christmas." And the image that was there was the creche. I'd like to get one of those for my car. It just was another reminder of how universal that crib scene is in understanding or experiencing Jesus.
But Senior Dunn, I was going to ask you too, do you have any particular memories of the creche in your home as you were growing up as a child?
You know, I don't have particularly strong memories of that. I know that we had a creche like you did, that was traditional in our family, and that was very important. I also I remember very clearly that was always the prominent thing under the tree, even though I suppose as youngsters we were looking for other things. It was there as the center, always. But I don't have any particularly strong memories of it.
You know, it seems like it until fairly recent times, really the whole world, not just Catholic and perhaps not even Christian, looked upon these kinds of displays as holy, as fitting for this time of the year. And it is kind of sad to see how in recent years there seems to be such an effort to literally take Christ out of Christmas. In so many places now, it's just considered so incorrect to even use a word like Christmas to refer to this as having anything to do with Christ. I remember a bishop telling me a couple of years ago that he was looking for a Christmas tree, and there was a department of wherever he was looking for it that was where you could buy holiday bushes. Bushes. He wasn't even sure what they were. And I think, you know, we're not trying to impose anything on any other people, and I don't know that many people consider Christmas an imposition, but there are at least a few loud voices out there who would want to do away with all of this, and we can't. We can't because for those who are Christian, this feast, the incarnation of the Son of God, means everything. This in many ways is, along with Easter, is the feast of our redemption, and we want to proclaim that. And if this invites others to share our faith, great. But that's all it's meant to be. I'd like to see more of these crib sets, even on people's front lawn. We have enough blow up Santas out there, I think, that we don't.
And reindeer and trees and all that.
But anyway, we know that you and I, and I think many, many Catholics faithful, will be looking forward to this celebration. We're going to do a little bit shorter program today, but do want to take the opportunity to express to all of our listeners our hope that they will have a very blessed and happy Christmas, that the Lord will come into their hearts in a very special way. As he does in so many ways every day for us. So a merry and blessed Christmas to all of you. So I want to thank Monsignor Don Dunn, for being with us today. Monsignor, any final words for our listeners today at Christmas time?
Yes, Bishop, I just join you in wishing for everyone a blessed, blessed Christmas time. I think our prayer is that the Lord may be born ever more deeply into our lives, not just on the 25th of December, but every day, and that every day we can help him grow in our world, and his kindness, his openness to everyone be a signal for the way we try to live our lives. God bless everyone, and may everyone also have a wonderful and blessed new year.
Well said. Thank you, Monsignor. And we'll just conclude with a brief prayer. Heavenly Father, We thank you for your many, many gifts, but at this time of the year, we thank you especially for the gift of your Son, who became man for us, who lived and who in this world, who taught us, who went to the cross for love of us, who rose from the dead so that we might live forever with him. We thank you for this great gift. We thank you for the gift of our Blessed Mother, whose faithful yes to the angel Gabriel made her the instrument of the incarnation of the Son of God. And we ask that you, Lord, bless all of those who are in our listening audience today. Bless all throughout this land, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Bishop Sheridan Presents on the Catholic Radio Network. Join us each week as Bishop Michael Sheridan of the Diocese of Colorado Springs discusses topics relevant to your life and your faith. Bishop Sheridan Presents is a production of the Catholic Radio Network and the Diocese of Colorado Springs. If there is a topic that you'd like to hear covered by Bishop Sheridan Presents, please call the Catholic Radio Network at 970-669-8000. Thanks again for listening to Bishop Sheridan Presents, brought to you by the Colorado Catholic Herald, the official newspaper of the Diocese of Colorado Springs.